turn to Acts chapter 19, verse 1. When everybody's there, say amen. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, someone say disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Notice he did not say, "Did you graduate from high school?" Notice he doesn't say, "Do you got your Bible college degree?" Notice he says, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" We're going to come back to that, but I want to just pause and think about that for a second. So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" Referring to water baptism. So they said, "Into John's baptism." But then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." That's water baptism. But verse 6, "And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask for understanding of your word, Lord God. Teach us your word, encourage us by your word, and even, if need be, correct us by your word. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen. Amen. We are finishing off our month-long study on the Holy Spirit, and we've been tackling some good issues. We've been tackling who he is, what he does, and what he brings. And we've learned a lot of critical things about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to wind it up today. But I want you to know that even studying him this month, we still haven't even scratched the surface of what we need to learn about the Holy Spirit. So I don't want you to walk away today thinking you learned everything there is about the Holy Spirit, because we haven't. We will spend a lifetime of digging into the treasure of the truths of the Holy Spirit. So with that said, eventually we will come back around and we'll study more about the Holy Spirit. But today we're going to finalize our month-long study on the Holy Spirit with the subtopic, what he brings. Someone say, what he brings. We're going to highlight again what he brings, what the Holy Spirit brings. Now, the last two Sundays, I gave you the big idea that the Holy Spirit brings transformation. Someone say transformation. I intentionally highlighted transformation first because I want us to understand that if you're not being transformed, something is wrong. So we dealt with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, right? Today we're going to deal with the power of the Holy Spirit, but I did not jump into the power of the Holy Spirit. I wanted to emphasize the transformation of the Holy Spirit, because if you have power but no transformation, you become dangerous to the kingdom of God. Christians with power but no transformation are dangerous. They end up giving Christianity a bad name. They end up ruining their testimony. They end up giving a bad testimony to the kingdom of God. So we had to start off with transformation, and we talked about some hard things, right? Like last week, I shared with the entire church. I said, listen, if the works of the flesh are dominating your life, right, you don't need to be serving at this time. You need to be coming and praying. You need to be coming seeking the Lord. You need to come studying the Bible and get a grip, and to get a grip, right, and get strong. Then you can serve a little bit more. Remember we talked about that last week? Now, with that said, the big idea for today is that the Holy Spirit brings supernatural power. Supernatural power. Write that down. The Holy Spirit brings supernatural power. Someone say supernatural power. Has anybody learned yet that you cannot live out this kingdom life in your own strength? Has anybody learned yet that you cannot live holy in your own strength? That you cannot pray in your own strength? You ain't going to be able to go to church in your own strength. But we need supernatural power from heaven to live out this Christian life. Say amen to that, somebody. Now, the big idea, again, is that the Holy Spirit brings supernatural power. And I want to start off by defining some terms. The word baptism means to be immersed. Someone say immersed. It means to be immersed. So when we mention the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are talking about being immersed in the Holy Spirit. We're talking about immersed in the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about water baptism today. I'm talking about Holy Spirit baptism. And when I refer to the Holy Spirit baptism, I'm talking about being immersed in the Holy Spirit. By the way, I want to let you know that all throughout today, in the mornings, up until now, I'm teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the necessity to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because my goal right now is to build your faith. My goal is to build your faith. As if at the result of our teaching, you recognize that you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit or filled freshly with the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you back tonight to our 5 p.m. Carson campus service, because at the Carson campus service, we're going to have a time where we open up the altar, and some of the leaders, we're going to pray for whoever needs to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So if at the end of our study, you feel like you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit or filled freshly with the Holy Spirit, I invite you to come to our Carson campus tonight, 5 p.m. But my goal right now is to build your faith, to build your capacity to believe, and to help you understand the importance of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Are you following along? All right. So the word baptism means to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. There's one baptism, but there's multiple feelings of the Holy Spirit. There's one baptism of the Holy Spirit, but how many know that we get discouraged, we get distracted, and we always need to come back to the altar, and we always need to, throughout your life, you're going to need a regular filling of the Holy Spirit. But there is the initial baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then there's multiple being filled up with the Holy Spirit. Are you following along? Now, we start off our study in Acts chapter 19, and Apostle Paul comes across these disciples, these believers, and he asks this question to these believers. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, I want you to notice it is the first question that he asks, which highlights the importance of this question. Like, he doesn't say, how's your mama? He doesn't say, how's your work coming along? He doesn't say, how's your education coming along? He doesn't say that. No, he gets down to the nitty gritty and he says, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? So he's highlighting the importance and the necessity for believers and disciples to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to dig deeper into this question that he asks, and I want us to think about, why does Paul ask this question? What does Paul mean by this question? What does this question teach us? Those are some of the things that we're going to go over this morning or this afternoon. Why does Paul ask this question? What does he mean by this question? And what does this question teach us? I have a couple main thoughts that will answer all those today. And the first one, as to why does Paul ask this question, it is because Paul knew that being born of the Spirit and baptized in the Spirit are two different experiences. I want you to write that down. This is important to understand. Born of the Spirit and baptism in the Spirit are two different experiences. So somehow Paul looks at these disciples and he sizes them up in the spirit. He kind of evaluates them in the spirit, and he asks this question: did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now let me kind of flip the question around so maybe you could understand it better. Listen, let me flip it around. When you believed, did you receive the Holy Spirit? When you believed, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Now, let me teach you something very, very critical to understand. When one believes, when one surrenders to Jesus, at that very moment, that person is born of the Spirit of God. Are you following along? When one believes, at that very moment, that person is born of the Spirit of God. So, get this. The fact that these disciples were believers teaches us that they were already born of the Spirit, because you cannot be born again without the Spirit of God. Are you following along? The fact that they were disciples, the fact that he asked them, when you believed, teaches us that they were already saved, because one cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit working in their life. Right? So we are born of the Spirit when we are saved, because it is the Holy Spirit that actualizes our salvation. Jesus provided our salvation through his cross, but the moment we repent and believe in Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit that actualizes our salvation. He's the one that performs our salvation. Are you understand what I'm saying? Let me back this up with some scripture, because I'm trying to teach you something this afternoon that's very critical to your Christian walk. In the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 5, listen to what he says at the end of the verse. He says, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the what? By the Holy Spirit. So listen, I'm going to say it again. It is the Holy Spirit that actualizes your salvation. He's the one that enacts it or performs it when you believe in Christ Jesus and repent of your sins. Are you following along? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Listen to this. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, get this, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Notice this, I want to say it again. Once you believe, you are sealed by the Spirit. That's the born again experience. Are you following along? So when they believed, they were already born again. Let me kind of slow it down. Get this. When Paul tells them believers in Acts chapter 19, when he says, when you believed, that refers to the salvation experience, which they already had. But when he tells them, have you received the Holy Spirit, that refers to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which they needed. They needed that. Paul sized them up and said, look, you need something. You're already saved. You're already born of the Spirit, but there's something else you need to get. Are you following along? So why does he make this distinction? You know why? Because being born of the Spirit and being baptized in the Spirit are two different experiences. One Holy Spirit, two experiences. One Holy Spirit, write that down. One Holy Spirit, two experiences. And we see this in various places in the Bible. I want to show you another place where it's seen by comparing John chapter 20 with Luke chapter 24. I'm going to put it up on the screen. I want you to see this comparison. Listen to what happens in John chapter 20. Jesus says, and when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So this is after the resurrection, and Jesus comes to the disciples and he breathes on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Does that remind you of anything, by the way? Does that remind you of Genesis? When God created mankind, what does he do? God, you study it. He breathed into man and man became a living soul by the Spirit of God. And you remember Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they became spiritually dead. So when Jesus, you know, he resurrects from the grave and he comes to them in John chapter 20, when he breathes in them, what that is the initial rebirth experience. They're becoming born again. Becoming born again. Now look at what happens in Luke chapter 24 in another instance. Listen to what Jesus says. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with the power from heaven. I want you to notice something. Catch this. In John chapter 20, he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 24, another day, he says, wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. Think about this for a second. Is he contradicting himself? No. He's highlighting two different functions of the Holy Spirit. One is to cause you to be born again. The other one is to get you filled with power from on high. They are two different experiences. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Now listen, when you are saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. He moves in. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit takes over. You see the difference? Some of us, we allowed the Holy Spirit to move in, but we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to take over. And we're saved, but we're beat down. We're saved, but we're inactive. We're saved, but we're spiritually sleeping because the Holy Spirit moved in, but we haven't allowed him to take over. Get this. When you are saved, the Holy Spirit seals you. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit fills you. So a lot of you have been sealed, but you haven't been filled. The reason why many Christians are on the sideline of the kingdom of God and they're not putting in work for the kingdom of God is because they're sealed, but they're not filled. God wants you filled, not just sealed. Sealed is the most important gift of the New Testament. Don't get me wrong, but there is something else that God wants you to experience. It is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where he takes over and he fills you up. Are you following along? So, why does Paul ask the question, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? Number one, because being born of the Spirit and being baptized in the Spirit are two different things. But there's something else I want us to consider. He also asked that question because he knew they needed supernatural power to serve Jesus. He knew that they needed supernatural power to serve Jesus. Somehow or another, when Paul sees these 12 disciples, he sizes them up in the Spirit. He evaluates them and he says, you know what? There's something missing in your life. Paul recognizes that there was something lacking in their life, that there was something missing in their life. So he asks them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? He discerned that there was something lacking. Like there's just something that is off with you. You know, you never really raise your hand when it's time to worship. There's just something off. You never really bring your Bible to church, right? There's just something off. You never really sacrificially give. There's just something wrong. There's something. You're saved, but there's just something off. Could it be that you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Paul recognized they needed something more. They lacked something. Now get this. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to fill you with supernatural power to serve Jesus. That's the purpose. It's to fill you with supernatural power to serve Jesus. And I want you to understand this because it's very important. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for service, not salvation. It's for service, write that down, not salvation. It's for service, not salvation. If you already repented and you believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're already saved. You're already saved, you're already sealed, and eventually you will be delivered. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for salvation, it's for service. Someone say service. I want to show you a couple of scriptures that highlight this. In John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within. By this, he meant the Spirit." I want you to notice what should characterize those that are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the capacity through the baptism of the Holy Spirit to have rivers of living water flowing through us. You got to think about that for a second. Do you have rivers of living water flowing through you? Do you have rivers of living waters flowing through you? Remember the old folks used to sing that song? "I got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's doors, sets the captives free. I got a river of life." What? Flowing out of me. Do we have a river? Do we have a river? Do you have a river? I know I got a river flowing out of me because I know I need this river to flow out of me because I know the enemy's trying to tackle me every day. So when I show up and when I show up, the river shows up. When I step into the office, the river just. When I step into school, everywhere I go, the river flows. Why? I got a river of living water flowing out of me. Do you have a river? Every Christian should have a river flowing out of them. Or are you just dripping? Do you have a river or are you just dripping? Are you living a dripping type of life? We ought to have a river. We ought a river and we ought to be flowing. That river causes us to flow. We shouldn't be dragging ourselves to church every Sunday. We shouldn't have to drag ourselves to pray, get on our knees every time. We shouldn't have to drag ourselves to worship. We shouldn't be living a dragged life. Your life shouldn't be a drag. It ought to be a flow. It ought to be flowing. I'm flowing. I don't know about you, but I'm flowing. I'm flowing. My life is a flow, not a drag. It's a flow. Touch your neighbor, say, "Find your flow. Find your flow." It's in the river. It's in the river. It's in the river. I want you to read Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is one of the foundational scriptures on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, "But you shall receive power." Power. Power. That word power means supernatural power. That word power, we get our English word dynamite from that word power right there. You shall receive power. Power. Supernatural power. Remember the song that we sing? There's power, wonder and working power. Right? There's power, wonder and working power. See, the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit primarily is to fill you with power. Right? Wonder and working supernatural power. You shouldn't be a weak Christian. Shouldn't always be a beat up Christian. You ought to be a powerful Christian. You ought to be powerful because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. People ought to feel the power coming through you. That's what he says. He says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." This ain't no coffee type power. Some of y'all get that later. Only time some of y'all get strong is when you drink coffee. This ain't no man in a can type power. This is inward, connected to heavenward type power. Rivers of living water flowing out of me. But you will receive power, supernatural power, wonder-working power, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, that refers to your home. And in Judea, that refers to like your front yard. And Samaria, that refers to like your neighborhood. They ought to experience the power of God. How do you think they're supposed to experience the power of God? It should come through you. And to the ends of the earth. Why? Because we have this power. And Paul knew that they needed supernatural power. Jesus says, you shall receive power. Listen, Jesus never sent anybody out on the basis of education. He never sent anybody out on the basis of education. He didn't say, wait until you get your GED and then you go serve me. He didn't say, wait until you get your Bible degree, until you serve me. No, he sends us out on the basis of experience, his power. His power is the basis by which we go. That's what he said. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. Listen, people say, am I baptized with the Holy Spirit? How do I know if I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit? Well, listen, if you don't know you're baptized in the Spirit, you're probably not. If you don't know you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're probably not. Because he said you shall receive power. That ain't no weak power. It's energizing, dynamic, supernatural, mighty, miracle working type of power. And Paul knew this. Paul knew this. Paul knew this. Paul sized them up. He looked at these 12 disciples in Acts chapter 19. He says, man, you're saved. You're going to heaven. But there's just something. There's something that you need. Have you received this Holy Spirit? Listen, we need the supernatural power of God to demonstrate the kingdom in this world. We need the supernatural power of God. God, Jesus, has not just called us to talk about this gospel. He's called us to demonstrate this gospel. He never, ever sent us out just to preach this gospel, but he sent us out to preach that he might perform the power of God through us. Never sent us out just to talk about this gospel. Sent us out to demonstrate. In fact, one of my favorite verses I'm going to show you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Listen to this. Compare your life to this. He says, my message and my preaching were not with wise words and persuasive words. Some of our generation has fallen in love with knowledge and wisdom. But God never called you to say, hey, I want you to explain every little thing about me. No. He says, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. He said, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration. Demonstration, that means a visible manifestation of the kingdom of God. I come with a visible manifestation of the kingdom of God. Our generation is dying for a visible manifestation of the kingdom of God. They're hungry for a demonstration of the kingdom of God. And it's not enough. It's not enough just to say, God bless you. It's not enough just to say, I'll pray for you. It's not enough. God has called every born-again believer to be baptized with the Holy Ghost so that they may demonstrate the power of the kingdom at their work, at their school, on these streets. It's not just for this house. It is for the world. And our generation is dying. They're hungry for a demonstration of the power. People are jumping off bridges and they're killing themselves. You know why? Because they need the power of God demonstrated in their life. It's not enough just to say, God bless you. We got to be carriers of the power of God. And again, it's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the preacher. It's for every born again believer. Every born again believer. We ought to be laying hands on people. We ought to be praying for people on the spot. We ought to be believing for miracles and wonders. We ought to be believing for healing. We ought to bring the river of life wherever we go through a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Our church is celebrating 6 years of existence in October. And in less than 6 years, we have grown from a Bible study of approximately 10 people to approximately 1,000 people on Sunday worshiping the Lord in 4 different cities. Less than 6 years. 6 years. 6 years. We launched our Carson campus 6 months ago. I preached at 9 a.m. It was practically filled up. people crying out to God, people serving the Lord, leaders stepping up, people surrendering their life to the Lord. How do you think a church can grow from approximately 10 people to approximately 1,000 people in less than 6 years? How does that happen? It's not because I'm up here explaining to you big $20, $30 theological words. It's not because I'm over here being philosophical and trying to get you to understand the way that God did this and all that. No, no, no. You know why? It's because somehow or some way the Lord has anointed us and people are experiencing the demonstration of the power of God. They're feeling the demonstration of the power of God. So when they come to church, they don't just hear us, they feel us. They feel us. And actually, it's the filling of the power of the Holy Ghost. That's how it happens. Listen. My wife and I, last week, we took our kids to one of her favorite restaurants, which is Olive Garden. And we were eating in Olive Garden. And out of nowhere, one of the waitresses, she comes and she interrupts my wife, who was talking to me at that time. And the waitress says, she goes, "I'm sorry for interrupting you. I'm sorry for interrupting you." At that time, we were kind of shocked because we didn't know who it was. And she's talking to my wife. And she goes, "I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I saw you and I had to come over here. And I had to interrupt you guys because I wanted to thank you for praying for me." And she went on to say, she said that she went to our women's abide the Saturday before that, a couple of days before that, and my wife had prayed for her, and she felt the power of God like never before. The Spirit of the Lord came upon her like never before. And so when she saw my wife, when she made a beeline towards my wife, she said, I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you. And I'm watching, I'm looking at her. She said, "I'm sorry, I just had to thank you. I had to thank you." Why? Not because, I want to thank you because, Brian, you preached so good. No! 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 It's because the demonstration of the power of God. There was one lady about 3 months ago, I got a phone call. She, you know, I answered the phone. I said, "Hey, how you doing?" She goes, "Yeah." She goes, "My name is such and such." And I said, "Well, where are you calling me from?" She says, "I'm calling you from, I think it was San Fernando Valley or Apple Valley, somewhere around there, which is kind of far away." And she tells me, "I heard you guys have a deliverance ministry." She said, I heard you guys are praying for some people. I said, "Well, we pray for people." She goes, "When is your next gathering?" And I told her when the gathering was. She drove all the way from San Fernando Valley, and a team, I don't know what they did, but I think they casted out a devil or they did something because she was coughing, she was making noise, and she got delivered at that particular moment. I'm telling you, the power of God is on display, and God is calling Christians off of the sideline. He's calling us off of the sideline. And it's not just for old Christians, it's for young Christians. You young people need the power of the Holy Ghost. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. Last Sunday, I was at our Carson campus and I preached the message on transformation. It wasn't even a salvation message. I told the people, "You got to get right." It wasn't even a salvation message. It was like, "You just got to get right. You got to grow and you got to stop being a baby. You got to grow in the Lord," right? And I preached that message at our Carson campus. And at the end of the service, I just said, "Hey, you know what? Maybe there's someone here who needs to surrender their life to the Lord. Maybe there's someone here who wants to respond," right? And I gave the altar call. And I think it was only at the Carson campus I gave the altar call. And a young man, he's about 25 years old. He comes, two young men, a matter of fact, come. And they come to the front. And I tell him, I said, "Are you ready to surrender your life to the Lord?" Because my view is, right, that don't confuse saying a little prayer to getting saved. Y'all, you got to hear that. Too many people think they, because they say a little prayer out of their head, that they're saved, and they never put in work for the kingdom of God. And so I like to qualify some things sometime. Are you ready to surrender, give your heart to the Lord? The young man was like, yeah, I'm ready. Both of them, I'm willing. So I prayed with him right there. I prayed for him. He surrendered his life to the Lord. After the service, I took a picture of him. And I posted, I celebrated it on Facebook. I said, man, this young man gave his life. A young man. Not praise God for the old men. Amen. But when you get a young man who's saying, I'm willing to surrender my life to the Lord, that means something right there. Well, I'm willing to give my life to the Lord. And I posted on Facebook. And within, I don't know, a couple hours, I don't even know what's going on. But his mother stole my picture from Facebook. Screenshotted it, stole it, and she posted it up, and she said something to the effect that, you know what, I've been going to church all my life, and I've been praying for my son, and I've been believing for my son, and tonight he surrendered his life to Jesus at Chapel of Change. Hallelujah. She stole my picture to show the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Listen. Listen, my brothers and sisters. God is moving in a special way here at Chapel of Change. And it's because we are opening ourselves up to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to be afraid. We need the supernatural power of God. We need it. Now listen. We are always going to seek to take a biblical balanced view of the Holy Spirit. So if we ever get off, we're going to pull it back in, but we're not going to be the type of believer that ignores the Holy Spirit, that has want nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, or that is afraid of the Holy Spirit, because we know that our darkness is too dark and our brokenness is too much hurtful, and that we need the supernatural power of God. We need the supernatural power of God. Now listen. I want to wrap this up with a couple thoughts. How do you know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? How do you know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? And I'm going to summarize this. I'm going to give you the short answer. As I said, if you don't know you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you're probably not. If you're saying, how do I know? Then you're probably not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the main evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, a list we taught on the last two Sundays. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering. If you say you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and that fruit is not manifested in your life, something is wrong. Thirdly, when you study the scriptures and you notice every time somebody gets baptized in the Holy Spirit or they get filled with the Holy Spirit, there is often there is a verbal or expression or a verbal expression response to the filling of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes when somebody gets baptized in the Holy Spirit in the scripture, there is this verbal response. There's this expression that comes out of their mouth. And I believe the reason why I believe it is because Jesus taught in Luke chapter 6, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So get this. When your heart is full, your mouth will speak. When your heart is full, your mouth will speak. So some people say, you don't know me. You don't know my heart. Well, that's not altogether true. All I got to do is listen to you for a couple days. And you'll reveal what's in your heart. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when one gets filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit, usually there is this response, there's this expression, there's this verbal expression that is in response, because out of the abundance of the heart, there's an expression. I want to show you a couple examples in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, I'm going to put it up on the screen. Listen to what this says. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and then there's this expression. There's this verbal expression. But I want you to notice, they spoke, not the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice the Holy Spirit enabled them, but they had to speak. There's always this divine cooperation where it's between you and the Holy Spirit. There's this partnership. Are you following along? Acts chapter 10, listen to this. The Jewish believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. How did they know that they were filled with the Holy Spirit? There was this verbal expression that was a response to the filling with of the Holy Spirit, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When your heart is full, there will be some type of expression. The problem is some of y'all have been saying the wrong things. You know why you've been saying the wrong things? Because there's the wrong thing in your heart. You speak in negativity because you got a negative heart. You speak in fear because you got fear in your heart. You're speaking anger because there's anger in your heart. But if you mess around and have the Holy Spirit take over your heart, you will be expressing, you know, goodness and love and praises and worship out of your heart. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. Now, in Acts chapter 19 that we studied, in that context, in verse 6, the way that they knew that they were filled with the Holy Spirit was the Bible says in verse 6 that they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. Let me help you just understand a little bit as I wind this up, a little bit about what that means. Well, the simple kind of definition of tongues is inspired utterance in an unknown language. It's inspired utterance in an unknown language. And when you study tongues in its broader context, you'll learn that there's two sides to tongues, two sides. There's what you call the public side. There's the public side where you give a message to the congregation and therefore you need an interpretation or else nobody will understand what you're saying. Are you following along? In order for the church to be edified, you need an interpretation. But then there's what you call the personal prayer devotional side, where the Bible teaches that he who speaks in an unknown tongue doesn't speak to man, but speaks to God. And the Bible says he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Someone say edify. It says edifies himself in 1 Corinthians. That word edify means to recharge. It means to recharge. You know how you got to recharge your phone all the time? You know, if you leave your phone alone, eventually it will die out. Did you know that? So when someone prays the devotional side in an unknown language by the Holy Spirit, it is their direct connection to heaven. It's their hookup, get this, to heaven, and you charge your spirit. Because how many know the world drains us? How many know the world discourages us? You need a hookup from heaven. I thank God in my own personal experience that after I got born of the Spirit, sometimes later, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And from that moment of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I begin to learn how to pray in other tongues. And I begin to develop a lifestyle that would pray in other tongues and even sometimes sing in other tongues. Apostle Paul talks about singing in an unknown tongue. And in the process of learning and doing that over a course of 20 years, I've learned one of the secrets to my passion. One of the secrets to my passion for the kingdom of God is the regular consistency of praying in unknown tongues. That's been one of the secrets to my passion for the kingdom of God. And so I learned this all way back in prison when I was in a cell and I didn't have nobody to hug me and encourage me, right? I couldn't pick up a phone and call nobody to encourage me. So I would go on my knees on my cell and I would pray. I would pray in an unknown language and I'd pray. And you know, I'd pray regularly every day. And it was my hook up to heaven. It was my hook. I charged myself. I recharged myself. Every time I felt like draining out, every time I felt like spiritually dying, I would hook back up to heaven. And I would come back up on fire. Over 20 years later, still on fire for the kingdom of God. Still in love with Jesus Christ. Over 20 something years later. So my brothers and sisters, we are not going to fear the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to embrace the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to seek to live out a balanced biblical view of the Holy Spirit because we recognize that we need the supernatural power of God in our life. Can someone say amen to that? Now you ask, or I'm going to end it off with this. Jesus wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. In all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, at the beginning of all four Gospels, John the Baptizer introduces Jesus as the Holy Spirit Baptizer. Listen, in all four Gospels, Jesus is introduced as the Holy Spirit Baptizer. That's significant. All four Gospels. You study yourself. John the Baptist, that says, there he is. He's the one. He's the one that's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. There he is. He's the one that's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. All four Gospels. There's something to be said about that. Listen, many of you know Jesus as Savior. Many of you know Jesus as Lord. Some of you know Jesus as Deliverer. Some of you know Jesus as Healer. But the question today is, do you know Jesus as Baptizer of the Holy Spirit? Do you know Jesus as Baptizer in the Holy Spirit? Because if you don't, tonight at 5 p.m. at our Carson campus, if you don't, we're going to open up the altars and we're going to pray with you and we're going to trust God. We're going to say, Lord, baptize my brother. Lord, baptize my sister in the Holy Spirit. We're gonna do like the old folks used to say. They used to say, tarry until you get filled with the Holy Spirit at the altar. We're not gonna treat the Holy Spirit as some passing thing where we just use them for what we want. No, we're gonna be in the presence of the Lord and we're just gonna just trust God. We're just gonna believe, Lord, I don't know how he's gonna do it. I can't explain to you how he's gonna do it. We're just gonna trust him to do it. We're just gonna pray that he does it. I'm gonna end with this verse. Listen to this verse in book of Luke. It says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's what Jesus says. That's what Jesus says. You don't have to live as a defeated Christian. You could have the power of heaven overflowing in you. My prayer is that you come out and you pray, baptize me. My prayer is that you get filled with this power. The pastor should not be the most passionate person in the church. Everybody should be on fire for the kingdom of God. I want us to bow our heads with every head bowed and every eye closed as the worship team comes up. My mission today is to fill your heart with faith to believe. And so as we bow our heads for reflection, I want us just to reflect upon what was taught today, because I want the revelation of the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit to move from your head to your heart. I want it to move from your head to your heart. And so with everybody remaining still and our heads bowed, just for a couple moments, let us reflect upon the Word of God.